Let's pray right now. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for this family. We thank you for what you're teaching us. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And God, here we are. It's Sunday morning, God. And God, you didn't call us. You didn't put Christ Church together, God, just to put a show on Sunday morning. But God, all of us, Lord, we've got loved ones that don't know you. God, we've got, Lord, the enemy is attacking us, Lord, God, in our sphere of influence, God. But you have authority and you have power, Lord, that is available to us. And we need that, Lord, through your word. We need that through your presence. So we're asking for your empowering, Lord God, today so we can make a difference where you lead us this week, God, through your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Get Your Wings, part five. Wings, for those of you that are parachuting in, you're here for the first time or whatever, and you might have missed some other messages. This whole series is based on Isaiah 40:31 that says even youths grow tired. You know, kids, Jared, okay? Even Jared gets tired, okay? But it says in Isaiah 40:31 that those that wait upon the Lord, okay, like a waiter. Yes, what would you like? Not just wait around the pool waiting for lightning to strike them while they're drinking iced tea, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that wait upon the Lord, those that are attentive to the leading of God, okay? They will mount up with wings as eagles, okay, which is kind of weird and poetic, but really when you think about it, we talked about this a lot, mount up with wings as eagles, they got a perspective, they're majestic, they're powerful, they see things they've never seen before, they will mount up with wings of eagles, they will run, they won't be weary, they walk and they will not faint, okay, there is an energy, there's a power source there through waiting on the Lord, it goes back to prayer, okay, again, and the wings we're talking about, because prayer can be hard work. When you got your wings, the wings really we're learning is this whole term of worship. Worship is not just singing. Singing is good. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? But if that's all you're worshiping, if that's all of your worship, you're getting ripped off. Everything we do in life can be an act of worship. Everything. Colossians 3:17 says, everything you do, do it under the glory of God. When you bring in the presence of God, I was raking leaves yesterday, okay, and my arms ached, and I was tired and sore, but the whole time I'm doing it, I'm thanking God I got the strength to do this, you know? I got the strength to do this. God, where'd that strength come from? It comes from the Lord. Wow, you're a healthy guy. Well, I don't know, you know? I wouldn't be a healthy guy if it wasn't for God. Who gave me breath, okay? Who keeps me going? Well, we got a good healthcare system. Listen, any honest doctor will tell you that they only do what they can do. And they are blown away sometimes what they say. The non-believers say what the body can do and how wondrous it is. The believing medical profession knows that the medical field is very limited. And it is God that does what he desires to do. And we believe that. And we trust him. Okay? So worship, that gives me wings because I can be blessed and I can have all kinds of things going on in my life that are wonderful. I'm not gonna see it. I'm gonna be blind to it if I don't have an attitude of worship. Okay? I don't know if you guys struggle with unthankfulness. Man, I do. I have to ask God to help me with that all the time. Okay? And you know, John, how dare you be unthankful? Yeah, that's a good line. Okay? That's God says that to me as well, okay? In fact, you could be living in the one incredible blessing of the Lord and not even be content. Bel Air, Beverly Hills, and Brentwood, okay? Those are those big, rich neighborhoods where all the celebrities live in Los Angeles County, okay? Do you know that those three neighborhoods are amongst the leading neighborhoods in North America for people who are going to get counseling for addictions and all sorts of problems in their lives, okay? The mental health is not good there, okay? People believe that if I got more money, if I got more stuff, I'm gonna be happy. So we're talking about wings here. Now, I've handed out, let me see, is this gonna work here, okay? There are slips of paper there. Bob, could you get the slips of paper that say that there? And I just want you to wave them. You don't have to hand them out. Just wave them as a wave offering to the Lord, okay? You know what I want you to do? I'm going to be talking to you, and I'm going to leave those there. I want you, you don't have to sign it or anything, but I'd like you to take one of those papers home today, and maybe you could fill it out before you leave, or at least deposit it in the box this week or next week. It's a simple question. What has worship done for you? What has worship done for you? Well, what do you mean? Whatever you think it means. You can interpret that question any way you want. And if you want to take the challenge and fill that out, there's about a paragraph space. You can go one, two sentences. You can go three words. You can do whatever you want. Okay? But I wouldn't mind some feedback, because next week, Lord willing, is going to be the final message of this, okay? And it'd be really cool, maybe the next week, whatever. I do want to see them, and maybe God's going to speak through you as far as worship and give us maybe an insight on it that we haven't even thought about. Those kind of things happen during Bible studies. Oh, it's wonderful. It's good stuff, okay? Last week, I introduced you to the concept of opportunity versus requirement. Most people that are raised within the body of Christ have got this opinion of that, you know, worship is a requirement. You know, it's a command. And boy, that gets flogged like crazy. And it is true. It is a command. But you're never going to know the joy of it. You're never going to know the excitement of it if you don't shift from worship being a requirement to an opportunity. It is an opportunity to experience the presence of God. It is an opportunity to have faith built. It is an opportunity. Yeah, you're going to have to be obedient. Yeah, you're going to have to, you know, kind of swallow your pride and realize you are never going to understand everything, and we simply worship based on the limited perspective that we have. Okay? It's an opportunity to take us in our imperfect, you know, fall short of the glory of God way and really experience the love and the power and the presence of Jesus. Even though everything in your life hasn't lined up yet. Okay? It's a powerful, powerful open door to experiencing the Lord's presence if you can get a grip on it. We're trying to get a grip on it by looking at it this often, okay? You need to see worship as a gift, not a chore, okay? It's a gift, not a chore. And we're the ones that decide what it will be in our life. Have you got that? He leaves that choice up to us. Do you want it to be a chore in your life, or do you want it to be a gift? Do you want it to be a requirement, or do you want it to be an opportunity? Okay? Now, this is not just a concept. Boy, do I struggle with this. Okay? And I find the Holy Spirit, I've heard the Holy Spirit described as the great nag of heaven. Okay? He nags me. Are you laughing because you can relate to that? Do you know what I mean by that? Okay, yeah. Nag. He is a nag. Now, you hear nag, and you think, oh, here we go. Okay? Yeah, okay. Boy, I want him to nag me. Because I have to be reminded about good things. Okay? My brain agrees with him, but my heart doesn't always. Okay? So I have to have him nagging me. And the people that serve on the council here, Bobby and Christine, you know, sometimes they say, oh, I hate to bug you. I say, no, this is important. You have to bug me. You have to bug me. Okay? And if you spend any time walking with the Lord, he will nag you. And the only reason he nags you is because it's good stuff. It's good stuff. He does not want you bound by your own understanding of him. Ooh, there's a line, eh? He does not want you bound and held back by who and what you think he is. Okay? We have the opportunity to experience him for the way he really is if we can get a handle on this whole worship thing. But we're the ones that decide. Okay? He doesn't just, here I am, pow, that's what I'm all about. Uh-uh. I stand at the door and knock, okay? And I'm convinced that he stands on the door and knock, and if the answer doesn't come after a while, I think he takes off for a while. Oh, he'll never leave us or forsake us. But he gets the message, you know? Like the guy that tries to go out with the girl, and she doesn't want anything to do with him. You know, it gets kind of creepy if he stays around, keeps bugging her. I mean, then she's going to call the cops after a while, okay? And he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He desires a relationship that's two-way, not one-way, forced all the time. Okay? I think he backs off a bit. He's kind of looking from afar because he's waiting. He's hoping that your heart will turn. John 4:23. Look what it says. Yet a time is coming that has now come when true worshipers, the ones who sing all the right notes, you know, true worshipers, the ones that sing the right songs, the ones that are just with it and progressive, you know, today, you know, understand what's going on. No. Okay? When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seek. I have seen this scripture mutilated, and I've seen it used to abuse people and to harp on people that they're not worshiping God properly. Oh my goodness. Just ridiculous. Okay? And I hope I'm not doing that, but I find it interesting that Jesus says that the Father is looking for these kind of worshipers that worship him in spirit and truth. So I read that and I go, whoa, I don't understand that scripture like I should. That thing is loaded there. Whew, man, that's powerful stuff. In fact, I'm a little afraid to even teach from that because I don't know. When I read that, I go, I kind of ask myself, okay, and he doesn't condemn, but he does convict, okay? Am I a real worshiper? Is it the real thing here? Okay? Truth, spirit and truth. Think about that word truth, okay? We are never going to have all the facts, Okay? Now, some people just pass off things that they don't understand as, well, I'm never going to have all the facts anyway, so I'll just continue on my merry way. We're never going to have all the facts, but I know the proverb says there's a way that seems right to a man, that leads to death. Okay? You can almost make a case that what makes sense to you probably isn't where God is at. Got that? Because it says his ways are higher and they're pure. Okay? And I'm supposed to be following him, not him fitting into my little box of understanding of what do I think God is all about. Okay? He's bigger than that. And he doesn't fit too good in boxes. So this word truth here, I'm never going to have all the facts. Look at how close the word truth is to trust. Okay? Very closely related, not just in spelling. You drop the H and you put the S next to the T, and truth, trust, very closely related. Okay? You want to know the truth of God? You're probably going to need trust first. Okay? You want to be taken to where he is? You're going to have to trust. Okay? And you can't trust if you're expecting everything to line up perfectly the way you think it's going to line up perfectly or where you think you should line it up perfectly. This church is a perfect example. Okay? I'm kind of glad that when we got together in that prayer meeting, I didn't know what... In fact, I was praying we didn't have to start a church. You didn't know that because I was just trying to be kind. But, you know, God, please, no. You know, that was me. Okay? I've told a few of you that. And, I'm sure glad it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. And you know what? I think it might be going a certain way. And I now know it's probably not going to go that certain way because I've got God figured out. Okay. If you think it's going a certain way, guaranteed it's not going that way. It's going someplace else. Okay. There you go. Okay. Now you know for the rest of your life. If you think it's going to be this way, Okay. Sometimes people get revelations from God, and usually if they don't tell anybody and they're really humble about it and they're not bragging and going like this, okay, it's usually often from God. It's the guys that go around saying, I got a word from God. God's going to do this. You know, 99% of the time, the people that go that direction, maybe I'm cynical. I'm sorry. I turn them off because, you know, it's almost like they got to build themselves up. I'm a spiritual person because God talks to me and through me. The most powerful words from God I've ever received from anybody came like this. John... Something's really bugging me. I don't know if it's God or not, but I got to tell you this. And they get it and boom, I'm laid out. Okay. Cause I know that's God. Okay. Usually the vessels who he flows through, man, they almost tremble at the word of God. It's hard for them to deliver it because it's so powerful and so holy. Okay. That wasn't in my notes. That's a freebie. Okay. So he wants true worshipers, the fathers. So if there's such a thing as true worshipers, I don't think this is violating scripture. I'm going to assume, and maybe I got the Holy Spirit here, maybe not, we'll see, okay? If he's looking for true worshipers, that means there must be phony worship. If he's looking for true worship, then there must be phony worship, okay? If God wants true worshipers, there must be phony worship. Now, what would phony worship look like? Okay, well, you could probably add a few things, but I thought of a few things. Costs us nothing, okay? Phony worship is like, well, I'll worship when I feel like it. Okay, it doesn't cost me anything. Okay, hey, the music's great, man. How can you not move? You know, okay? It's based on circumstances, being right. Everything's lined up. Everything's perfect, okay? The kids weren't killing themselves on the way here, okay? And you got no grudges with anybody within the body of Christ. And, you know, you just got paid today or whatever, okay? Everything being right. Okay, that's phony worship, okay? Worshiping worship. Oh, I'm sorry, the band wasn't together, okay? And you know, and John had to lead it, so forget it, man. There's no way I'm gonna get into that, okay? That's worshiping worship, okay? I'm just not getting the feeling, you know? Hey, the feelings are good. Nothing wrong with feelings. Who would want to be married in love without feelings, right? But if your relationships are based on only feelings, we need to talk, really, okay? It's void of childlikeness and humility, okay? Void of child. Hey, I got this down. I know how to worship. You ever met anybody like that? Well, we don't. Oh my goodness. You know, go to another church. Okay. Anyway, if you know what phony worship is, okay, if you have a handle on what phony worship is, then there's a good chance you're going to recognize what the real stuff is in your life and the way God wants you to lead it into, because there is real worship. Okay. What would real worship look like? It costs you. You're not always going to feel like it. In fact, I would suggest probably the time when you need to worship the Lord the most is when you don't feel like it, because you need to experience the presence of God. Does that mean all the problems are going to go away? Be nice, but chances are no. I don't know about you, but I got to know the presence of God when all my prayers are not being answered. Okay? And that's easier to do if I've got the opinion of, I'm never going to have all the answers, so I got to trust Him. Okay? Okay? If I would think real worship is that, I would think it doesn't depend on circumstances. Okay? I would think that, it's centered on Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. Now this is, I want to say something here, okay? Because we see real faith, particularly in morally depraved, biblically ignorant North American culture now, where everybody wants to worship God. Oh, everybody believes in God. Please, please. It is increasingly become necessary that the center of our faith, the center of our discussion, the center of our life, He holds everything in the palm. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus. Okay? He said, you're not going to get to the Father unless it's through me. Okay? So when we worship, it's nice to worship God. I get that. It's not bad. But we worship Christ. Okay? We worship Christ. Christ, okay, is going to get you in trouble. Christ is the dividing line. Jesus, the one who said, all men will hate you because of me. They won't hate you because of God. Okay? They won't hate you if you worship some kind of cosmic entity that, you know, everything's going to be all right and don't worry, be happy. Okay? Because that's very popular. And that is creeping into biblically centered churches more and more in North America like you wouldn't believe. Okay? It is the name of Jesus that caused demons to tremble. Okay? We are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? That is everything. Everything changed when He rose from the dead. Okay? If you read the New Testament, that is clear. And you better be communicating that in love and in grace and with great humility. Okay? Because the devil and everywhere he's hiding, and especially in those places where he masquerades as an angel of light, don't be surprised if his prophets masquerade as angel of light. They do not want to hear about Jesus. Okay? They want God. Well, my God wouldn't do that. Well, God, you know, blah, blah, blah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, here's how to do it. You're in love with Him. You're mesmerized by Him. You make sure that you know, you've experienced His grace, okay? There's a reason. He didn't say, no man comes to the Father except through me, because He wanted to create dividing lines. He was telling people for what it is, okay? Everything else, I think there's a scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's the way it is outside of Jesus, okay? It's not exclusive. We're not a frozen, chosen, we have truth and nobody else does. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Okay? Not just God. Because everybody believes in God. Okay? Jails are filled with people that believe in God. Okay? It is Christ. Real worship is centered on Christ. Because you can't trust anything else nowadays. Okay? It is under His name that every authority is under. No one else's. There is no other name. Paul says, there's no other name under heaven which we can be saved. Doesn't work that way. I'm not trying to be exclusive. I'm just giving you the word. And there's, you know, there, not every scripture lines up with, oh, I don't know about that. Okay? And I'm hoping I'm handling it right. Real worship without humility is annoying. It really is. Okay, if you really know the presence of God, there's something humbling about that. Where you go, whoa, you know? It's powerful stuff. And it's for us. It's for us. Are you ready? It's time you saw a fun slide, okay? Can you get too happy? Is it possible to be too happy? Hey, is it possible to be too happy? I've said on Twitter a number of times, everything's funnier with the minions, okay? Okay. Can you get too happy? I don't know. Well, I know you can get inappropriately happy. I don't know if I've ever told this story. I probably have. My memory's terrible. I was in Bible college, and you know me, I'm goofy, loud all the time. And come into the waiting area there, and I got a couple friends, and they look really sad. And I say, what's the matter with you guys? You look like you lost your best friend. And my buddy Joel says, counsel, not the thing to say right now. Yeah, okay, I walk out. I find out that the two people there, her former boyfriend, just got killed in a car accident like 6 hours, and 6 hours before, and just heard about it, okay? Man, I still haven't lived that down. I mean, going apologizing, that wasn't enough, you know? You could be inappropriately happy, but see, that's why happiness is different from the joy of the Lord. Joy comes from Jesus. Joy is there. It's something that I'm still trying to get a handle on, but it's not happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, okay? On circumstance. Joy. Joy is there. And I would suggest, you know, there's that scripture that says when the disciples come back to Jesus and they say, you know, we tried to cast out demons, but this one we couldn't. Why not? And Jesus says this kind comes out only through prayer and fasting. The real original translation is more accurate to this kind only comes out at the hands of somebody who prays and fasts regularly. Okay? Joy is not something that you obtain. Joy is something that you maintain. It's not like a fire extinguisher to put out the fires of circumstance. It is a reservoir that as you grow in the Lord, the joy of the Lord should increase. And if it doesn't, that's something you need to talk to God about. God, I need joy. I need joy. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. So when you ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit, that's an aspect of the Holy Spirit. Have you got that? And he's willing to give. If you ask your earthly father for a piece of bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He wants to give you joy. Okay? Joy does not depend on circumstances. Joy can have you lighthearted. Joy can have you with a smile on your face when everybody around you is just, ooh, okay? Joy. True worship will always leave you enriched in some way. Have you got that? True worship will always leave you enriched in some way. Where am I going with that? Well, here's a good one for that. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? What a great scripture. You're not impressed with wealth. That's not even true riches. Now, it's a good way, you know, to gauge whether you can handle true riches because, you know, look at how people handle wealth. That says a lot about character, okay? But Jesus says if you can't handle that, how are you going to handle true riches? I would suggest that true riches, if you've got joy, that's rich, boy. If you've got a good marriage, whew. If you get your health, if you've got all these things that money... I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. Boy, you know, out of all those tunes, they got one right, right? I mean, that's very, you could go to scripture on that. Okay? Money can't buy me love. Okay? Can rent a good time and mess you up your life, but it can't buy you love. When we talk about true riches, we're talking about the stuff that money can't buy. I've used that quote from John Paul Getty so many times, okay? The guy that was the richest man in the world from the 60s and the 70s. They've made movies about him. After his fifth marriage broke up, he'd say, I'd give all my wealth for a marriage that worked. You know? God's ego does not need stroking. Oh, poor God. We just want to worship you because you're lonely. He is not insecure. He's very secure. Okay? He doesn't need your worship. He seeks your worship because he loves you and he wants you to experience his power. But he doesn't need me to worship him. Okay? I'm the guy that's missing out if I don't worship him. Okay? Because if I can get this down pat, he releases his joy. He releases the fruits of the Spirit. He releases his empowerment. He releases you from bondages that you don't even know are holding you back. Okay? He releases, he redeems, make things right, okay? The guilt that you were feeling terrible about, he erases that through his blood. He renews, okay? They will mount up with wings as eagles, they will walk and not be weary, they will renew their strength. He renews, okay? He restores. That's over. I can't make up for the mistake that I made. I can't restore. Yeah, you're right. You got half right. Okay, and the devil will beat you up because that's a half a truth and he'll keep you down. But Jesus can restore. Jesus can restore. He releases, redeems, renews, restores. And you can think of a bunch of other R words as well. Okay? Whenever I come here with a message, the lists are never going to be exhaustive. Okay? Hopefully it's what God wants us to hear on any particular time when we come together. Therefore. Okay? Therefore. Three dots. You know? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It doesn't say anything about singing there. Okay? I'm not putting down singing. We all love singing, but please, that's not just worship. What's real worship? I offer my body as a living sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? No, I don't want to do this. It's not going to be comfortable. Okay, that's what a sacrifice is. You know? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. There's the real deal right there. And there's all kind of, whatever you do, it's a perfect interpreter of scripture is other scripture. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And we do it through Romans 12:1. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I'll worship if I feel like it. I'll worship if everything, that's phony worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How to renew your mind? I'll tell you right now. By you not getting your way all the time. Okay? That's one way right there. How do you renew your mind? Let it stop being your mind and let it be His mind. Because it says in Isaiah that if your mind is in Him, He will keep those whose mind are stayed on Him in perfect peace. Boy, I need a shot of that, man. You've heard me say that often, okay? Who's my biggest problem? John Council. Okay? If I could think less like John Council and more like a child that's trusting Jesus, I'm going to save myself a lot of grief. Okay? Transform and renewing your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Okay? You know how they think. But be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then, you will be able to approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to close with a song. It's not a corny song. Because if it was a corny song, we'd have the choir in the bottom right hand thing there, okay? You could tell it's a corny old tune, and there's nothing wrong with it. They're a lot of fun, and sometimes God can use them, sometimes they're wonderful. But if it's a corny tune, I'll put the choir in the bottom right-hand corner. Some of you know this, okay? If you know the song, you can sing it with your eyes closed. If you don't, okay? In fact, I'm going to pray before we sing. God, do your work in this place, God. God, you know I get up here and I try to do, Lord, what I believe you want me to do. But what you have to do in our lives is so much more than what we can experience here on a Sunday morning, God. Lord, you got to have your way in our lives when nobody's looking. You got to have your way, Lord, when we're in the midst of situations we don't want to be in, but we got to make a living. We have to interact. God, we can't choose our relatives, Lord. God, we need you in those areas. So God, I pray, Lord, in these closing moments, Lord, that you would launch something, that you would shift things in our hearts and our minds. It's not the magic bullet here. It's not the song to end all songs, but God might be able to do something with it if you can sing it with an open heart to Him. I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence there's fullness of joy. There is nothing, there is no one to compare with you. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence there's fullness of joy. There is nothing, there is no one to compare with you. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Stand, sing it one more time. I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence there's fullness of joy. There is nothing, there is no one to compare with you. So I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Will you please close your eyes? Nobody looking around, please, okay? If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that. You've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. If you have, I don't want you to raise your hand, okay? And if you've got other needs that maybe you're stale and dry and you need prayer, look, we'd love to pray for you, okay? That's what we're here for. But if you've never done that, if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking getting baptized as an infant. I'm not talking about going through catechism. I'm not talking about, you know, praying a secret prayer. And if there's doubt as to whether you have or not, maybe you probably haven't. But you want to make that right this morning, okay? John, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't understand. And you may never understand like you think you ought to. But that's clear to you this morning. I've never done that, and I need to do that this morning. If that's you, and I'm not going to center you out and embarrass you or anything like that, but I need you to raise your hand so I can see you right now, so I can track you down before you leave this room and pray with you myself, okay, in a way that's not intimidating in any way, okay? I don't know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need him in my life, John. I want you to pray with me. Hand up real quick and then down real quick. Okay. And for those of you that are visiting, we do that just about every Sunday morning, okay? Because that's priority. That's so important. Love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, Lord.